Good afternoon. This is Ed Walsh with the Muhammad Citizen for the week of March the 2nd, 2020. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the headline article. It's under the banner of Capital Budget. The headline reads, Millions in Road Funds Headed Here. South Illinois 47 up for new service, says State Senator Rose. Illinois Senator Chapin Rose, Republican of Muhammad, has good news from the state capitol, and he wants to be clear on what he says is key. It's important that people know that their money is coming back to them, Rose said in a February 11th interview with the Muhammad Citizen. In Muhammad, it's coming back in a big way. Motor fuel tax, MFT funds in the state capital budget bill will power the fiscal year 2020 to 2025 rebuild Illinois Highway Improvement Program. In Champaign County, one of the projects outlined in that program is a $2.93 million outlay for improvements from Eastwood Drive in Muhammad South to US 150/Oak Street, west to Division Street, and south on Illinois 47 to Illinois 10. The total miles for standard overlay and Americans with Disabilities improvements on the roadways are 6.10, according to details in paperwork provided by Rose. He wants Muhammad residents to be aware of what the Capitol bill is doing for this area and the difference between sales tax on gasoline versus MFT funds to keep infrastructure in shape. One of the things that people need to know, the Capitol bill eliminated the sales tax on gasoline, and it's a policy choice, Rose said. Sales tax, when it's collected, goes in the state general fund. You then have to send me and everybody else to Springfield to go fight and get your money back. And it doesn't necessarily come back in the form of roads. Sales tax on gasoline can come back in the form of K-12 funding or ag or environment, but it doesn't necessarily come back for roads. The gasoline sales tax also is more expensive for consumers, he noted. Sales tax is just a percentage basis on an underlying commodity, which also means that as the price of gas goes up, the state gouges you because we collect more, Rose explained. The higher the price of gas is, the more we collect in sales tax. So sales tax is very, very unfair to consumers. Just as a philosophical piece, it doesn't go back to the roads. It can, but it just goes in a general bucket and then goes to where whatever the General Assembly wants it to go to, which means down road state Illinois has to go fight Chicago to get its money back. The motor fuels tax, MFT, is fixed per gallon, so it doesn't gouge you as the price of the commodity goes up. And off the top, you're guaranteed to get a huge chunk back automatically to your local county, your local village, and your local townships. Automatically, by formula, money comes right back. You don't have to send me or Dan Calkins or whoever to go to Springfield to fight Mike Madigan. It automatically comes back, Rose added. He offered up a chart of additional MFT renewal fund revenues to Champaign County and its municipalities. In Muhammad, the renewal fund average is $12,054, and the 12-month estimate is $144,653. All we've done here is taken the real numbers that came back to these local communities and basically adjusted for 12 months. So this is an estimate, Rose said. This is the new capital bill. This is money that you don't have to go fight Mike Madigan to get back. More importantly, these are decisions to be made by your local leaders, and this is not Mike Madigan telling you how to spend the money, he said. So, just to me, on a policy choice basis, eliminating the sales tax for the motor fuel is the way to go, because we're going to get more money onto actual streets. Rose said taxpayers should appreciate the MFT route of funding for other reasons, too. The second thing is, the state constitution now protects every penny of motor fuel tax to go back into transportation. It does not protect sales tax. So again, citizens need to know this is their money coming back to them, he said. Now, in an interesting space in time for Illinois, this is the one place where downstate Illinois really wins. And the reason is, when you're doing the per gallon tax, most of the gallons driven are in the suburbs every day. We've got the roads, but they've got the people. So the money being collected is being collected up there, and then it's distributed about people and miles. So we get a huge chunk of this back, way more than what we're going to send. That's your local component. On top of that, you've got the state routes. So again, the Constitution says that every penny of motor fuel tax has to go back into the roads. So these are the guaranteed dollars coming back to your locals. But then you've got the state route, Rose said. This is brand new in the Capitol bill. All these wants are things that we were able to get back into the bill to come back to you again, bringing your money back to you. It's in the five-year plan. New projects in the area, in addition to the 6.10 mile stretch on Illinois 47 between Eastwood Drive and Illinois 10, include bridge replacement under U.S. 150 northwest of Champaign at a cost of $6.68 $3 million, utility adjustment and also consultant plans at the Interstate 74 interchange with Interstate 57, $300,000 and $400,000 respectively, land acquisition and also utility adjustment on I-57 under Mattis Avenue and under U.S. 150, plus under I-74 under Mattis, $457,000 and $1.185 million, respectively. Bridge deck repairs under Illinois 47 northeast of Seymour, $500,000. Resurfacing on I-74 from 1.3 miles west of Champaign County line to 0.2 miles of a mile west of Illinois 47 at the interchange in Mahomet for a total of 5.24 miles, just over $4 million. Designed overlay and ADA improvements on U.S. 150 for 5.57 miles from Mansfield to Mahomet, $4 million. Bridge deck repairs on U.S. 150 over a stream 2 miles west of Mahomet for $100,000. Mahomet's going to get about $150,000 in additional support for local roads, Rose noted. He said no one likes to pay more in taxes as the state's MFT tax on gasoline went up recently. But the taxpayers' money is working for all citizens. I get it. I don't want to pay the motor fuel tax any more than anybody else does. But every stinking penny is coming back to this district, and then some, Rose said. The other article on the front page is under the banner of Village Board, and the headline reads Trustees Back TIF Extension. Without comment, the Village of Mahomet Board of Trustees unanimously approved its consent agenda Tuesday night, which included support for a 12-year extension of the East Mahomet Tax Increment Financing TIF district. The move backs the extension and authorizes Village President Sean Widener to sign a letter of support to the Illinois General Assembly for the extension. The TIF in question covers land including Middletown Prairie Elementary School, property to the west of the school campus, and school district-owned land to South Mahomet Road, north to Interstate 74, and east of the school property to Prairie View Road, with tracks to the east and northeast of that also included. Maps of the TIF or related materials can be found on the village website at mahomet-il.gov. State lawmakers must approve the extension for it to happen. According to materials from the village, our plans include a new at-grade railroad crossing and extension of South Mahomet Road to Prairie View Road, which is estimated at $7 million to $8 million. Village leaders say extending the TIF will boost development and growth of the tax base in the district and therefore in Mahomet overall. Other public taxing bodies affected by the extension of the TIF include the Mahomet Public Library District, and its board agreed February 10th also to send a letter of support for the effort. The Mahomet Seymour School Board also approved a letter of support for the extension at its February 18th meeting. In other items, Tuesday at their regular meeting, village trustees heard from staffers that changes are coming soon to the computer systems at the administration building, including the way water bills are processed. Patrick Brown, village administrator, noted that in the transition from one electronic system of billing to another, residents will see one bill that includes 6 weeks of service instead of the usual 4 weeks. Village leaders agreed that they may send letters to water customers and will otherwise publicize the upcoming 6 week bill, which will be this spring, so that residents can plan ahead to pay a different amount than what they are accustomed to in that one billing cycle. Our intention is to give the public, our customers, at least 2 months' notice, Brown said. We will put notices on their bill and we will send out a totally separate mailer to them. In an action item on the agenda, trustees approved an engineering resolution for legal and topographic surveys of village properties at a cost of no more than $13,600. This move is to scrutinize village-owned land, including property that may, under the downtown master plan, become part of the village green. Land that to be surveyed excludes the newly cleared lots just east of the administration building at 503 East Main Street. With the downtown master plan, there has been interest in property development, Widener said. For us to know what we have legally is a good idea to have. In other business, trustees got a first look at a very preliminary capital improvement program, CIP, presented by Brown. It looks at aspects of the village ranging from water service to West Mahomet to a future administration building expansion. And now on page 2, we have the news in brief. The first article is headlined, Free Clinic for Children Planned. The Champaign-Urbana Elks 2497 and Danville Elks 332 lodges, in cooperation with the Illinois Elks Children's Care Corporation, will sponsor a free children's orthopedic assessment clinic on Tuesday, March 10th, according to a press release. The clinic is from 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. and is by appointment only. To make an appointment, call the Illinois Elks Children's Care Office at 1-800-272-0074 between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. There are no charges for any services at this clinic. The Elks will hold the clinic at the OSF Children's Hospital of Illinois Multispecialty Clinic at OSF Healthcare Heart of Mary Medical Center, located at 1405 West Park Street, Suite 306 in Urbana. Dr. James McKechnie will be the clinician. No medical referral is necessary for the clinic, but physicians are welcome to refer patients to the clinic for a specific reason or second opinion. School nurses are welcome to refer children and families to the clinic. The Elks organization has been working with physically challenged children since 1928, and this is one of the 16 clinic locations throughout Illinois. The clinic is an ideal time to have a child reviewed for bone and joint development. If your child has feet pointing inward or outward, complains of back, knee, leg, ankle pain, or has a back curvature that can be seen at this clinic, there is no charge for any diagnostic services at this clinic. The Elks will provide financial assistance to the best of their ability for children needing further treatment or specialty equipment when the family lacks sufficient resources to do so. In the past, the Elks have purchased therapy services, corrective shoes, braces, wheelchairs, and augmentative communication devices to help children overcome a variety of physical challenges. The next article is headlined, Annual Banquet Set in Mansfield. The 130th Mansfield Community High School Annual Banquet will be held Saturday, April 25th at Blue Ridge Junior High School, formerly Mansfield High School, in Mansfield. The classes of 1940, 1950, 1960, and 1970 will be honored. Anyone who attended Mansfield High School is invited to attend. Yoder's Kitchen, Arthur, will provide the meal. Make reservations by sending $18 per person to MHS Alumni Association, General Delivery, Mansfield, Illinois, 61854, by April 11th. Include the names, address, and years of Mansfield High graduation or attendance. Tickets will not be mailed, but may be picked up at the door. For more information or to volunteer to help with the event, contact Debbie Kindred Huchel at 217-489-5951. Again, that's 489-5951. Or Candy Miller at 217-898-2995. Again, that's 898-2995. Or via email at Kandra, that's KANDRA dot Miller 3 at gmail.com. And the final article of this news in brief is headlined Music Festival at High School, March 7th. The Muhammad Seymour Music Department will host its annual solo and ensemble festival on Saturday, March 7th, coming up. The event starts around 8:30 a.m. and runs until around 11 a.m. Interested students will be performing solos and or in ensembles for judges' critique in 10 to 12 minute blocks in various Muhammad Seymour High School classrooms. And finally, on page A2, we have 10 Question Friday. Each week, we interview a familiar face in town. This week, Jeremy Davis chats with the Muhammad Citizens, Penny Weaver. Jeremy Davis is a teacher at Muhammad Seymour High School in chemistry and anatomy. I also coach both the girls and boys high school teams here, as well as a volunteer assistant for a few other Muhammad teams, he said. The first question, if you didn't have to sleep, what would you do with the extra time? Make better or healthier life choices. Simple. Number two question, what hobby would you get into if time and money weren't an issue? Response, hiking around natural areas. Question three, what could you give a 45-minute presentation on with absolutely no preparation? How developing an understanding of what happens at the molecular level transcends to what we see at our level. Number four question, when you are old, what do you think children will ask you to tell a story about? The time I punched a statue of Paul Bunyan in the nether region during a family picture. Question five, what's the favorite piece of clothing you own or did own and why? A crown from the 1999 MS Winter Formal. A young lady and I started dancing that night, and 20 years later, she still hasn't left me for my poor rhythm. Question 6. What are the small things that would make your day better, and why is that? Seeing kids do something in a game we have been working on, it brings me a lot of joy to share in that success with them. Question 7. What is the luckiest thing that has happened to you, and when did it occur? In the last game of the last practice of this last boys' soccer season, I bodied Logan Woodward off the ball in a 50-50, dribbled down the field, and then got their goalie to go down. I chipped it over him for the final goal of the practice season and a victory for my team. The boys all claimed it was luck. Who am I to judge different? P.S. KJ, that's what you get for not picking me and talking that trash. Question 8. What is one of your favorite smells? Answer, oranges. Question 9. What fictional place would you most like to go? The Shire. Question 10. If you could give advice based on your knowledge today to yourself as a 20-year-old, what would it be? Focus on doing what you love. I would have started teaching earlier in my life. And since we couldn't stop at 10, one bonus question. What gets you fired up? Seeing parents model poor behaviors for their children at sporting events. I second that emotion. And now turning to page A3, under obituaries, we have the following death notices of local and area interest. Lauren L. Bain, 91, of Gibson City, peacefully passed away at 2:08 a.m. Saturday, February 22, 2020, at his home, surrounded by his loving family. His visitation was from 10 to 11 a.m. February 25th at the American Evangelical Lutheran Church in Gibson City. The funeral service was at 11 a.m. with Pastor Jim Davis officiating. A private burial was in Drummer Township Cemetery. Faris Jean Unziger Diefenbaugh, age 93, of Fisher, died at 2:51 p.m. Monday, February 24, 2020, at Bickford Cottage of Champaign. A celebration of life was held at 10 a.m. Friday, February 28, 2020, at the Mahomet Christian Church, 908 North Lake of the Woods Road in Mahomet. Pastor David Johnson officiated. Visitation was from 6 to 8 p.m. Thursday, February 27, 2020, at the church. Burial was in Willowbrook Cemetery in Fisher. Lawrence Wayne Fredden, 67, of Danville, formerly of Loda, passed away at 1:25 a.m. Friday, February 21, 2020, at Waters of Covington in Covington, Indiana. A private family funeral service will be held at Bayer Family Funeral Services, 406 East Pell Street in Paxton, followed by burial in Pine Ridge Cemetery, Loda. With heavy hearts, the Mack family regrets to announce the passing of our son, Thomas Christian Mack, born in Portland, Maine on October 3, 1983. He passed away unexpectedly of natural causes due to a sudden illness on Saturday, February 15, 2020, at home in Urbana. A funeral service was Friday, February 21, 2020, at Blair Owens Funeral Home, 102 East Dunbar Street in Mahomet, with a one-hour visitation prior to services from 10 to 11 a.m. There also was a service in Portland, Maine, his home state. A private burial will be held at a later date. James D. Jim Bob Rainey, 76, of Monticello, passed away at 5:25 p.m. Thursday, February 20th, 2020, at home. Services will be held at a later date. Memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Condolences may be sent to the family at MackeyWrightFuneralHome.com. Mary Catherine Ring of Tuscola died at 4:45 a.m. Wednesday, February 19th, 2020, at Arbor Rose in Arcola. She was 87. The Mass of Christian burial was at 10 a.m. Saturday, February 22, 2020, at the 40 Martyrs Catholic Church, 201 East Van Allen Street in Tuscola. With Father Angel Sierra as celebrant, burial was in Tuscola Township Cemetery. Mary is survived by her sons Gary, wife Judy Ring of Mahomet, and Larry Cindy Ring of Tuscola, and her daughter Kathy Kent Manier of Tuscola. Jeffrey E. Slade of Mahomet, Illinois, passed from this world to his heavenly home on February 20th, 2020, in Florida, with loving family at his side, following a five-month brave battle with a very rare cancer. Jeff enjoyed golf and hunting and loved fishing. A memorial service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, March 7th at New Beginnings Lutheran Church in Mahomet, Illinois. Visitation will be held from 5 to 8 p.m. Friday, March 6th, also at the church. And now, returning to the news and views, on page A4, in the opinions page, we have the Ramblings article by Jim Matthews. The headline today is "Everything Up for Bid at Annual MAYC Auction." The lovely Mrs. Matthews, TLMM, and I were the guests of the always generous Debbie Williams at the MAYC auction last Saturday night. Once MAYC knew we were coming the week before, they were relentless in making sure we had ample opportunity to review and bid on silent auction items through a series of texts. We thumbed through them at lunch each day and marveled at how many items folks had donated. "I'm looking for gadgets. TLMM is looking for experiences." There were many of the latter, few of the former. MAYC is one of those community organizations that has widespread support. It touches hundreds of families year-round throughout its after-school and summer programs. At one time, this may have been a program for disadvantaged young people, but today it offers a wide tent to all of Mahomet, a worthy cause if ever there was one. A very nice lady sat next to me for dinner Saturday night. She's actually a neighbor of the real Matthews in Mahomet. Gary and Trudy, once described in the Mahomet Citizen as relentless volunteers. I'm not relentless. She said that the after-school program was a godsend for their family and for every family needful of two incomes. We talked about how the model of a household built on a working man and mom at home was only viable in the history of the United States for one or two generations in the late 20th century. Kudos to Mahomet for having found a way to support women who choose to work outside the home while providing children with the opportunity to grow in many different directions. For years, this event was held on a family's farm in their barn. This year, there was a new director of MAYC, and the event moved from June to February and from the farm to the I Hotel and Conference Center. This was not done by the command of the new director, Sarah Bogoyan, but because the event seems to have outgrown the farm. We were 10 sitting at table 19, so I can say with some confidence there were hundreds of people in attendance. This was my first time. Here's my first impression. When you walk in the door, the first thing you notice is that everything is up for auction. You check in and they take a credit card number to facilitate bidding, and then you're given a paddle with a number. Ours was 183. There are many opportunities to hold up a paddle at the MAYC auction. After all, that's what they're there for. My first surprise was that beer and wine were complimentary, thanks to the generosity of our hostess, Mrs. Williams. Since she and I are both wine aficionados, this was a good thing. My first action, once I was inside the ballroom, was to find a wandering wait person who carried glasses of wine on a tray. I took two. One for me and one for TLMM. This all made sense to me. People who are liquored up will spend more liberally on auction items. It isn't rocket science. The theme of the event was hats off to MAYC. We were all invited to wear hats for the evening. TLMM chose her pussy hat from 2017's March on Washington. She was afraid she was treading into hostile territory, but all of the ladies at our table loved it. Yours truly wore his high top hat. There were two sizes of top hat. I met a guy in the lavatory who wore a real nice short stack with a rose attached. It was a fine hat. Myself, I prefer the Abe Lincoln Special. I find I can carry a lot more junk under it, for one thing. They even had a hat contest during the evening. The criteria were never explained. It appeared that knowing the judges helped. No one at our table made the cut. Our friend Cindy wore at least six hats at once. Apparently, that was not weird enough. There was a dessert auction, where a box of brownies went for $900. Do I even need to mention that our table went without dessert? There was a hats or tails game that depended on a coin flip. If you chose poorly and went out, you could buy back in for $10. Once again, we learned that people with money can't lose in America. The man who won the prize, 6 nights and 7 days stay anywhere in the world, turned the prize back to be auctioned off. I think it eventually went for $5,000. That's more than I paid for the Hyundai. I was clearly out of my league. I turned to the silent auction on my phone, since the live auction items were far beyond the means of the retired French professor. TLMM loves their morning coffee, so I bid on a large box of coffee. Though at times I felt like an interloper, I was happy to see so much financial support for such a good cause. A community that invests in its children to this extent is a wise community that can be such a blessing to our region and our states. Hats off, indeed. This has been the Mahomet Citizen for the week of March 2nd, 2020. I look forward to reading with you again soon. For Illinois Radio Reader, I'm Ed Walsh.